Do sit down. Now I want to begin this morning by asking us a question. And that is, what is a witness? What is a witness? I don't know whether anybody's got any ideas. What comes to mind when we think of the word witness? What does a witness do? See something happening yet? Speaks about it perhaps? Yeah. Of course, we often associate it, don't we, with the idea of someone going to court and speaking maybe to defend someone who is accused of committing a crime. So they might have to say that the person being charged is a basically decent person, and in that sense be something of a character witness. Or the person might go and stand in court and say that they were with the person accused on the night of the crime, so to speak, and that therefore they couldn't have done it. In other words, they'd be a witness as an alibi. Or as a witness, a person will tell of what they saw, and when asked questions, they will answer questions. Now, I suppose most of us will not have to be a witness in a court of law, but if we're Christians, then we are actually all witnesses of a sort, whether we realise it or not. Now, we read earlier from Acts chapter 6, and that's on page 1101 if you want to have it open to have a look at, 1101. Now, the situation is that Jesus had died on the cross to put people right with God not long before. He'd then risen to prove it and then returned to heaven to rule at God the Father's right hand. The message of this good news was spreading in the Jerusalem area, and churches started to form to see believers in Jesus encouraged and to see the gospel continue to be made known as Jesus had told them to do. Well, the book of Acts, perhaps better called the Acts of the Risen Jesus by his Holy Spirit through his apostles, tells us just before what we read in chapter 6 verse 7 that the word of God continued to increase and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the temple priests became obedient to the faith. Now it's at this point that we're introduced to the character of Stephen. And we find a person that God used as a witness, and in particular, as a witness to Jesus. So first of all, we see that Stephen was in fact a servant of Jesus. Now, as often happens when the gospel is growing, there are tensions caused by growth, because it can be hard for people who are already involved to adapt when new people join the church family. And new people can find it a challenge to work out what being a part of a church is really all about. Well, in this very early growing church, some of the needy Christians from a Greek background felt that they were not being provided for in the same way that members of the church from a Jewish background were being provided for. There was no welfare state, of course, in those days, no benefits, and so the church family themselves had to make sure that the members were provided for. Now, to sort things out, the 12 apostles set up a team of deacons or servants to make sure that everyone, especially the widows amongst them, had what they needed. Now, this meant that the apostles could then get on with their core work, what they described just a bit earlier from what we read as the ministry of the teaching of the word and prayer. And also, it meant that if they could get on with that work, then others could make sure that the other vital, practical work was done as well. Now, among those who were chosen to be deacons, servants, to provide for the needy was Stephen, a man that Luke, who wrote the Acts, describes as full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Now it's important to see that both these sorts of roles in the church family are very important. The ministry of the word and prayer and practical service, caring for church family members, sorting things out that need to be dealt with in the life of the church. All these things need to be done if the church is to be a good witness to Jesus. And of course today it's the same. Yes, we need preachers, we need small group leaders and children's group leaders and others who will minister the word, the Bible, and pray. And we also need people who will do the practical things and people who will care and offer support to church members. Then the church can work properly together. It's worth saying that as we think of our situation here at All Saints at the moment, we do need to be expanding our pastoral team, folks who can look out for and care for others. Maybe that's something that we can think about being involved in some way. Well, whatever our role, we need to remember that we are servants, helping the church community to be a good witness to Jesus. It's said that during a presidential visit to the NASA Space Center in the early 60s, President Kennedy saw a caretaker carrying a brush. And he interrupted his schedule and went up to the caretaker and said, "Hi, I'm Jack Kennedy. What are you doing?" "Well, Mr. President," the caretaker replied, "I'm helping put a man on the moon." Now, that man knew that he was a servant and part of a team with a big purpose. How much is that true as we all play a part in the church family and our task of being a witness to Jesus? So as we look at Stephen, we find that he was a servant of Jesus, but also we see that he spoke of Jesus. Now, being a witness to Jesus involves serving with others in the church family, but unless we explain what it is that we believe, people won't understand and appreciate that it is Jesus that we're pointing to. Now, Stephen served as a deacon practically, and also he spoke of Jesus when the opportunity arose. We read verse 8 of Acts chapter 6. "Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs amongst the people. Then some of the local religious people rose up and disputed with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking." So Stephen, when he was challenged, gave a witness to Jesus in words. And in fact, most of the next chapter is a record of what he said when he was taken to a courtroom and accused of working against the religious ideas and traditions of the people. So the reading carries on, verse 11. "Then they secretly instigated men who said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. They set up false witnesses who said, 'This man never ceases to speak words against the holy place and the law. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us.' And the high priest said to Stephen, 'Are these things so?'" And then Stephen starts his quite long explanation of what the real situation is. So when he was asked about what he believed, he spoke about God's plan through Jesus. And he used what the people he was speaking to already knew about the Old Testament Bible and how God had all along been working out his plan centered on Jesus, his son. And Stephen started then with Abraham, the great Old Testament figure, and God's promise to him. And then he went on to speak about Moses, who he says told the Old Testament people, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers." But he explains that the people didn't believe and they turned away from God. They even killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one. And this righteous one, Jesus, the people had betrayed and put to death. Now, of course, many of us feel that we're not that great at explaining the Christian message if someone puts us on the spot and asks us. But it's interesting to see Stephen here because he got over the essentials of God's plan for the world. And when asked, we can do the same. We hear of how when people started to dispute with him, they found that they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. And God's Holy Spirit is with us as his people now, giving us strength beyond our natural abilities to do these sorts of things. Now, Stephen spoke of God's loving purpose, humans turning away from God, and how God has sent his son to sort things out. So, putting it simply, he spoke of what has gone wrong with the world and what God has done in Jesus to put things right. I read recently of a man called Dave Bennett who did some serious research for a master's degree. His subject was how people become Christians in the UK. Now, he interviewed hundreds, and he took a sample of those who had come to believe in Jesus between 1995 and 2002. Now, amongst his findings were that 90% of the people had known a Christian, and this connection was central to them becoming a Christian. And what's more, over three quarters of the people said that having the gospel explained to them by a Christian had significance for them in them becoming believers. See, what we say with our mouths is important and can be used by God to help others. Now, of course, we don't always have the opportunity to explain much of the gospel to people. But we can invite people to situations where they can hear more. It was interesting that in that research, 87% of the new believers said that they had been invited to a church event. Indeed, being invited was second only to being prayed for as what people considered to be the most important way that other Christians had helped them. Now, we're often rather scared and intimidated by the thought of rejection. None of us wants to ask somebody and then find that they don't want to come. But in the research, it was found that even when people said no, they actually appreciated being asked. And it was a much more positive thing than not having been asked. Dave Bennett tells of one lady who was invited to a carol service by a friend for 15 consecutive years before she eventually said yes. And this became a key step for her in her pathway to becoming a Christian. So perhaps we can be thinking of who we can invite to events that are perhaps the relatively easy things to invite people to, like harvest celebrations and Christmas. And it's also worth saying that the PCC are beginning to think about a time next spring when, with other churches, we're going to invite a team of people from the Theological College, where our former parish assistant Rob Turley is studying, to help us to put on some interesting and engaging events to which we can invite people to hear more about Jesus. So why not start to make a list of friends and family and neighbours who we can be praying for and who perhaps we can invite? So Stephen was a witness because he spoke of Jesus. But finally, we see that Stephen showed Jesus' reality in his life. I wonder if you notice the similarities between our two Bible readings in Acts and in Matthew's Gospel. It was said of Stephen in Acts, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against his holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And it was said of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, "Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, 'This man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.' The high priest said, 'He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need?'" And as we read on in Acts, we find that Stephen was to become the first martyr. He actually was stoned to death. And as he was dying, he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In other words, he died. And as we read on in the Gospels, we find Jesus was hung on a cross to die and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. You see, Stephen's life very clearly pointed to Jesus and his life and his death. Now, we may not have to suffer much like Stephen did in our witness to Jesus, but how we live our lives will be very important as a witness to Jesus. in that research that I mentioned before, for men in particular, out of the 22 reasons why people started to think about Christianity, the lifestyle of another Christian was top of the list. One man said, "By being my friend and living the life of a Christian, their life was the Bible I used to read." Well, witnesses point to something that they have seen, or they stand up for someone else's character, or they answer questions. Well, we are witnesses to Jesus as individuals and together as a church community, whether we realize it or not. Stephen, in the Acts of the risen Jesus, by his Holy Spirit through the apostles, set something of a pattern. Christians like Stephen are servants of Jesus, pointing people to Jesus by how they help others. We can be witnesses by how we speak of Jesus. Even when we find it hard, we can try and invite others to places where they can hear the good news of what God has done through Jesus. And we can show Jesus through our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the witness of Stephen to Jesus all those years ago. And we thank you that we have a similar task today in 2015. And we ask that you would strengthen us as individuals and as a church community by your Spirit, that we might indeed, through the way that we serve, the way that we speak, the way that we show Jesus in our lives, point others to him. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.